Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman, and welcome to part three of our three-part series on growing older, aging with grace for godly women. In part one, we talked through several beautiful passages of Scripture about growing old in godliness. And then in part two, we talked about some practical aspects of aging, from health issues to changing family relationships. Growing into old age is a big adjustment. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to those first two parts yet, we've put the link right there in our show notes of this episode. And we just encourage you to listen to those before you listen to part three.
Yeah. And Amy, I think this was a topic that really needed to be addressed. I mean, so many of our listeners wrote in and said that it was helpful to them, or that they had been hoping that someone somewhere would address aging in a doctrinally sound way. So I guess we were it.
Yes.
And I think that was also reflected on the podcast rating charts, too. I checked yesterday, and since we released part one of this aging series, we have hit the podcast charts. That's the top 250 podcasts in the nation, either in Christianity or in the Christianity or religion and spirituality category or both. We've hit that top 250 in Canada, Denmark, Nigeria, Lithuania, and Barbados.
Wow. In Barbados.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And wow.
Yeah. So that was really
That's
neat.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It is. I'm just checking our hosting podcast statistics right now. I'm pulling them up as you speak, Michelle. And we've already had like 4,000 downloads on both parts one and part two, which is pretty amazing. So this is a topic I think a lot of women really want to hear about.
Yeah, I think so, too. And we actually hit number 50 in the entire nation of Lithuania. So ačiū, that's how you say thank you.
Ačiū
to our Lithuanian listeners.
Yes, thank you. Yes. That's great. And we hope that all of our listeners will find tonight's final episode in our series to be just as helpful. So this is how it worked. We asked all of you to send us in your comments and feedback on parts one and two. And so many of you graciously took the time to share your thoughts with us so that we could share your wisdom and insight with all of our listeners tonight in this part three.
Yes, thank you so much, listeners. You know, like Amy and I said, this was new territory for us because we've not personally had godly older women disciple us in this area. So We certainly don't have all the answers. So we really appreciate your chiming in and offering your wisdom. And we want to, again, give our little warning to moms with little ones. There's going to be a segment later in this episode that you may not even want your teens listening to before you preview it or pre-listen to it or whatever. So this is another earbud episode, so to speak. So let's hear from our listeners. We're going to deal with your comments topically in this episode. So first, we're going to take some comments about grandparenting and grandchildren. Rachel commented on our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, and she says, I love listening to your podcast. Thank you. Well, thank you, Rachel.
Yes.
She says, I have to caution you about your advice regarding grandchildren who do not live near you. Certainly, we should love them and try to be a part of their lives. However, we have to let our children live their lives where God puts them. We grandparents must trust them to God. I have 4 children and 10 grandchildren and 2 on the way. Wow, congratulations. All of whom live 7 or more hours away and none in the same city. If my goal is to see them often, then I will never be home. I won't be able to participate in my church. I won't be able to be an older woman mentoring the younger women in my church. Also, money is tight. I don't have the funds to travel a lot nor to send gifts all the time. Of course, I try to visit them, but if I'm to be content where I am, I must live here. I try to be the grandmother to those children who do not have a living grandmother or whose grandmother lives far away. I try to help young couples with their children as I see God providing women to help my children and grandchildren since I can't be there. I just felt like your advice was a little bit saddening to me and perhaps to other grandmothers who, for various reasons, can't travel, can't send gifts, and can't move. FaceTime is a wonderful invention for us. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for your comment. And I'm so sorry you're not able to see your grandchildren as much as you'd like. I know you miss them, and that can be really, really sad. So I'm sorry about that. I went back and listened to part two and also looked at our script. And I just wanted to reassure you and any other listeners who felt saddened by our suggestions that it certainly was not our intent to say that if your grandchildren live far away, that you had to do all the things that we suggested. I mean, we said things like, if it's feasible, consider moving near them and do all the practical stuff to keep in touch as much as possible. Call, text, email, FaceTime, write letters and cards, send gifts, have them live stream their special events to you. Visit as much as possible. You can only do what you can do. I mean, we weren't suggesting that you spend more money than you have or visit more than you reasonably can. And we certainly would never suggest that you visit your grandchildren at the expense of being a faithful, invested member of your own church. Sometimes, and this happens to me a lot, sometimes when we hear something that's meant to apply broadly to a general audience, we can think, oh, the person giving that advice doesn't really understand my particular situation. And that's correct. As much as Amy and I would like to know each of you and your situations personally and give you personal individual counsel, that's just not possible. So on the things that aren't biblical commands that apply to all Christians, like how you can keep in touch with your grandchildren, we would encourage you to listen for things that you can do, and maybe try things that you can try to do and do those things. But the things that you know that you can't do, maybe just consider that those things are for another listener who can. Amy, any thoughts?
Oh, yeah, no, that's great advice, Michelle. And we were speaking broadly. But Rachel, wow, what an example you are to other grandmas in your church who are in the same situation. You know, I love how you said that, you know, your own grandchildren may live far away. Wow. 10 and 2 on the way. Wow, you are blessed. But you're also blessing young couples whose grandparents don't live near their grandchildren. So I just love how you're serving them, and you're just kind of being a substitute grandma for those folks. And what a great blessing you are. So thanks for writing in. And again, I think you're very blessed to have those sweet little ones, even though they're not very close to you now. But yeah, texting. Grandkids love that. So good for you for doing that. And thanks for bringing that to our attention. So let's look at another one about grandparenting. This one comes from our Instagram account over A Word Fitly Spoken. This is from Ashley, who writes this. She writes, I am 39, but I absolutely love these podcast episodes as a way to prepare myself for the future and the legacy I want to leave. The topic of biblical grandmothering would be interesting. Maybe some ideas on how one can specifically and intentionally pour into the next generation. And then also, Felicia over on our Facebook page said, you know, not every older lady is a grandmother. Aging isn't as fun without it. It used to not bug me, but now it makes me sad. So thank you both, Ashley and Felicia, for writing in about grandchildren and legacies and that kind of thing. Yeah, how do you specifically and intentionally pour into the next generation when you currently don't have grandchildren? And that's my situation as well. I think I shared with Felicia on our Facebook page that, yep, I'm in the same boat. I don't have grandchildren and probably won't, but I can pour into the grandchildren, the youngsters in our church. And I think that is a very worthwhile investment to make, because, you know, these kids are looking for somebody who's wiser and somebody that, you know, maybe they can glean some things, you know, and support their moms as well. And it's just a wonderful thing, Michelle. I think that there should be a ministry for grandmas in the church. Absolutely. You know, take them out to lunch and maybe start a Bible study for young kids where, you know, with their moms or without, if mom would like to have a Bible study with substitute grandmas in the church. That would be awesome, I think. And just a wonderful way to really do things with the younger generation. And we talked before about how we could be Titus 2 women, and how can we take those younger ones in? How can we, you know, do something? You don't have to buy lunch or anything like that. If you can't afford it, maybe invite them over. Have an afternoon cookie baking thing, or learn how to make sourdough bread, or get out in the garden, or go shopping together if that's what you want to do. But yeah, really spend time with that generation, because not everybody has grandmas and grandpas who are around. So, Michelle, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm so thankful that Ashley listened to these episodes, because when you're young, that's the time to start becoming a godly older woman. You know, you don't just turn into a godly older woman overnight. You have to start when you're young so that you can be godly. You get the godliness part started real young, and then you just grow older, and then you're a godly older woman. So I think that's great. And yeah, the topic of biblical grandmothering probably would be interesting. Maybe we can tackle that at some point in the future and give some more ideas on a future episode. So, but the idea of grandmothering those children at church that their grandparents live far away. I mean, when I was young, my dad was in the Army, so we were always far away from my grandparents. And I remember an older couple who we adopted them and they adopted us back, sort of. And so that was really nice. And it was good to have, you know, some surrogate grandparents there in the church. So, that's a great thing. And, even if you don't have grandchildren, or if your grandchildren live far away, that can be something that's kind of painful, especially when other women do have grandchildren and, you know, maybe they're always busy with their grandchildren or whatever. So that's another thing that you can do. Just adopt some of those kids in the church. And like Amy said, you know, have them over, volunteer to babysit maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Once you've gotten to know the parents and everything. And I'm sure a lot of young couples would love a night out, and then you can be grandma and they can have a date night, and it's a win-win for everybody.
That's right.
All righty. So let's look at this next comment. Anonymous, this is from my Instagram account. Anonymous says, pastors should encourage grandparents to stick around. As my sister was looking for a new church, she watched some online sermons. One pastor boasted about being in the other room away from the noise of the grandchildren. Children are a gift from the Lord. Pastors should be leading in godly encouragement. Pastors should be leading grandparents in godly encouragement to be involved in their grandchildren's lives. Yeah, this is important. I don't know what the pastor may or may not have said, since I didn't hear it. You know, it's a little joke every now and then. Does not mean that he's a terrible pastor or anything like that, but it could have been an inappropriate remark. I don't know. So we do need to be careful about that, but, it really is important for grandparents to be involved in their grandchildren's lives. There needs to be a balance between the adult children dropping their children off for their parents to raise. In other words, that the grandparents are always taking care of the children and the parents aren't doing their job of parenting them. That's one extreme. But then there's also this other extreme that I keep hearing about from young people, that their grandparents their parents are busy and being selfish and they never see their grandchildren. And it's not an issue of them not living close enough. It's just that they're wrapped up in their own lives and they don't want to have they don't want to have anything to do with their grandchildren, but they could be a lot more involved, and their involvement is desired by their children and their grandchildren. So everybody's got to make sure that there's a good balance there. Those of us who are grandparents, we need to make sure that we are involved in our children's and grandchildren's lives. But we also need to make sure that, you know, the parents are actually raising the children. So there's got to be a good balance there.
Yeah, I agree, Michelle. And, you know, I think it's a matter of good communication and then also intentionality. You know, set those dates. Say, you know, hey, you know, if this is too much for your grandma, you know, maybe once a month we can get together and we can just have some time together, whatever it is. And then communicate, you know, am I as a older woman, a grandma, am I, you know, is it too much? Is it not enough? You know, ask your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law, whoever it is, you know, just ask the question. Have those conversations. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to do that. And don't assume that anything, don't assume anything, but, you know, don't assume that they know exactly what's on your mind or, you know, and you shouldn't assume either what's on their mind. Maybe they're feeling that you're abandoning them. So ask the question, be intentional, and then just be a good listener. All right. Well, a couple of our listeners had questions and thoughts about relating to our grown children. And there's two people from our Facebook page, both Felicia and Stephanie, who were asking about parenting regrets for those with prodigals. Oh boy, Michelle. Yeah, everybody has regrets when it comes to, you know, how you've raised your children and the choices that they make. But if you've taught them right from wrong, and you've taught them about the Lord, you're not the Holy Spirit. You know, your job is to, you know, continue. You point to them to truth, right? But only the Holy Spirit can convict them. If they've walked away from the Lord, if they've decided that they love the world more. More than they love God, and they, in, you know, your time with them is making them feel uncomfortable because they know that you're a Christian. You know what? That's not anything that you can help. So I would just say, you know, I love you, but yes, you've done what you can. You, as a parent, and your children are grown. They're not with you anymore. You know, you're no longer their parent. You're still their mom and dad, but you're no longer raising them. And so all you can do is, with your regrets, give it to the Lord. If you need to apologize, we've said this before, you know, call up your son and daughter or take them out to lunch and say, you know, one thing I really regret is that I didn't do this, this, and this, you know, and you can just say, you know, I hope you can forgive me, but, and that's about all you can do. And a lot of times they'll be real surprised and say, I didn't know you felt that way. So, but yes, you're not the Holy Spirit. So, stop taking that guilt upon yourself. And quite frankly, that's above your pay grade. You know, you can't convict anybody of their sin or their need for the Lord. All you can do is continue to share the gospel where appropriate. Michelle, your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said there, Amy. Don't evaluate the things that you've done in your past in light of Scripture, and make sure, you know, that if you did something that actually was what the Bible calls sin, that you have mm-hmm. repented of that to the Lord and to your children. And if there's any possible way to do something to make up for that in any way, that you go ahead and do that. But be sure you're not repenting for things that weren't sin. There's no parent out there who's perfect. It, you know, you were 5 minutes late to pick them up from soccer one day. That's not why your child has become a homosexual. You know, you right. cannot take every little thing onto your own shoulders, like Amy was just saying. So repent of anything that you have done that was sinful. But like Amy said, God holds these adult children responsible for their own decisions and their own spiritual lives. You know, a passage you might want to study as you're working through this is Ezekiel 18. And it talks about the fact that God judges each of us individually. That's the passage that says the father shall not be put to death for the sins of the son shall not be put to death for the sins of the father, and so on. And it may give you a good anchor for how to think about your parenting and what effect that may or may not have had on your children. So mm-hmm. get into Ezekiel 18 and give that a good study and pray through that. And like we said, repent where you need to repent, but don't take all that, the blame that rightfully goes to your child for his own decisions, onto your own shoulders, because God doesn't do that, and you shouldn't do that either.
Right.
All righty. This is from Deanna from our Award Fitly Spoken Facebook page. She said, I've just discovered you and your podcast because of this very promotion. Hey, that's great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm so glad that, you know, this topic was drawing people in because people need to hear sound doctrine on this topic. Anyway, she says, I love this topic and thank you for venturing out to do this. I haven't heard them, but can't wait. So I guess she wrote this before she listened to the episodes, which is exciting. So that's great. She says, I'm having the most people ask about the transition into empty nesting and we cannot find anything. I get the joy to speak on occasion and I would love to learn more on this. Perhaps these are further down the road sessions, but I'm just mentioning it as a transition into that next stage. Can't wait to hear these. Well, Deanna, we certainly hope you've had a chance to listen to them by now and that we did talk about empty nest syndrome. So we hope that what we said was helpful to you and constructive. And, you know, maybe we'll be able to talk about that a little bit more in the future or something.
Yeah. I think Michelle and I, in some of our older podcasts too, we've both mentioned what it's like to be an empty nest mom. And, you know, is it harder the first time or the last time? Yes, it can be difficult. It can also be freeing. So, I think that, you know, would we do a whole episode on it? Yeah, maybe. It depends.
We'll have to see.
Yes. Here's an interesting question that we did not cover. What about older women with young children? So we've got a note here from Jennifer. She chimed in on our Facebook page and said, I am nearly 50 and I have 3 adopted children, ages 2, 3, and 5, whom we homeschool. Wow, that is so cool, Jennifer. And she writes, I am tired. I can imagine. She says, my 5 biological children are amazing. My 2 girls, who are 20 and 23, still live with us and are an amazing help, but they also have full-time jobs and school. Anyhow, the young ones really keep me active, and I know without a doubt that God has called me for this and that He will sustain me as long as I'm needed. I would like to hear some more discussion on aging when you have had your children later in life. Well, Jennifer, I am just amazed by you raising 2, 3, and 5. Wow. And being age 50. So no wonder you're tired, but yes, the Lord does sustain and give you that strength to do that. And how exciting for them that they're going to get to see such wisdom poured into them. And the fact that you're homeschooling is just incredible. So very glad that you're not sending them to government schools. As we know, these days that we are in, it's almost impossible. So thank you for homeschooling. And I know what a sacrifice that must be, but well worth the investment. I'll say that again. So good for you for doing that. Maybe we could do a program on where to find that energy. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, I would have to do some research on where to find that energy because I'm exhausted myself. I mean, we've had 6 kids. We have 2 that are just about to leave the nest. And I understand exactly what she means when she says she's tired. So, yes. So that is really great. And my hat is off to anyone who can do something like that. I know there are a lot of grandmothers out there who are raising their grandchildren for various reasons. And when the Lord calls you to step up to the plate and do something like that, He absolutely will sustain you and help you. I would say get some help from your church family as much as you can. Maybe your church has a Mom's Day Out program like my church does that you could put the kids there for a couple of days a week just to give yourself a break and some time to rest. You know, talk to other moms. This is a great opportunity for you to get to know some of the young moms at church because most of the people who have children 2, 3, and 5 are going to be younger moms. And so you've got a wide open door there when your children are all playing together to disciple those younger moms and pour God's word into them and give them advice. Since you've already raised 5 biological children, you've got amazing experience that you can pump into them. You've got an amazing opportunity for ministry in a lot of different ways there. I would just aside from Jennifer, I understand Jennifer's situation, and you know, I'm sure she's doing what the Lord wants her to do. I would encourage our older ladies who are not in a position of where they have to take in their, you know, a relative or their grandchildren, or where, you know, they're the only one who can adopt those children. If it's more of a, hey, we're thinking about doing, you know, we're thinking about adopting some children, but it's not a situation where you have to, I would just say you might want to spend a little extra time in prayer about that and think a little bit harder than that, than say if you were in your 20s or 30s. Because yeah, when you, you know, when you start hitting your 50s, and especially if you have already raised a bunch of children, you are going to be tired. And you also have to consider the fact that, you know, you don't stop aging as your children age. You're going to get older as they get older, and you want to be around for them. And you don't want to, you know, die, you know, for lack of a better way of explaining it, when they're still relatively young and leaving them without parents. So that's just something to consider. Maybe you might want to, if you're still interested in adopting as you get older, maybe some older children that need homes. Older children are harder to adopt out, and they still need homes. But you also have to keep in mind that older children haven't been adopted sometimes because they have behavioral problems. And are you going to be able to have the energy to handle that? So there are just lots of things to consider, and maybe get some input from some other godly women that have adopted or that have had their children later in life, and also get some pastoral counsel on that as well. So there are just a lot of things to consider, but for those that are doing that and they're in the trenches and they have those younger kids at an older age, like I said, my hat is off to you and God bless you.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Well, here's another interesting issue that we didn't address. And this one's kind of a sad one, unfortunately. Anonymous over at our A Word Fitly Spoken Facebook page said, could you address the topic of our children's death before ours? I'm 71. Yeah. We lost our 45-year-old daughter to breast cancer in November of 2018. Thankfully, we were able to care for her for the last months of her life. The reality of losing a child is something many of us have to cope with. Having to arrange a funeral for your child is very difficult. Being a caregiver is hard, but God is faithful through the valleys as well as the mountaintops. I'm sure I'm not alone in this. Thank you.
Man.
Yeah, that is, I can't even imagine. That has got to be, if that's not the worst thing to happen to someone, it's got to be way up there, close to the top of the worst things that could happen to someone, is losing a child. And I can't even imagine, you know, your precious daughter who's been in your life for 45 years, to watch her have to suffer like that, and then to lose her, you know, when she's so young. 45 is so young to go. I do not have any advice, because I just have no frame of reference for dealing with such a thing like that. I would suggest that you talk to your pastor and get some biblical counsel, and maybe he can also put you together with another godly woman in your church who has gone through kind of the same thing, and the two of y'all can support each other and love each other and encourage each other. Amy, what do you think?
Well, like you, Michelle, I don't have advice either. But I do think it is good to not be alone as you go through this. And Anonymous, my heart also goes out to you. I can't even imagine the searing pain of that. And I would just say, you know, yes, lean on your brothers and sisters in Christ for as long as you have to. That's what the church is there for. We're here to help each other. And there's no time limit on grief. You know, and I understand from family members and friends who have gone through this, like you have, Anonymous, that, you know, there's going to be a lot of firsts, like, you know, the first birthday without her, and the first Christmas without her, and the first time that you remember something that happens, the memories just kind of come in waves. And but it's also important to talk about her, you know, share every time you get a chance, the story of your child with other people. So again, I just, I hope that you are able to not go through this alone, that, or anyone listening who's gone through this, please let us know if you would like to write in. We would love to help if you've got some advice, and just things that have worked for you that have helped you, get through this time. We would love to, on a future podcast, be able to, just read those letters of encouragement. And it doesn't matter which episode we're doing. We'll stop everything and just read those notes. So, ladies, if you've gone through this, please do help us support Anonymous. All right. Well, several of you had thoughts about caring for and relating to aging parents. And I will say that that's the boat I'm in right now. So I can't wait to read these. This first one comes from Anonymous, also on our Facebook page. And she writes, honestly, as a younger woman, and she said 34 years old, I had planned to skip this series, assuming that it wouldn't pertain much to me. However, I did decide to listen, and it was very informative in many ways. I currently work in healthcare, and I am very knowledgeable about the processes and needs as we age. I never thought about how to go about it spiritually, though, only from a physical perspective, and this series gave me some insight to consider for those who I know and love are aging, as well as for myself when I get there, Lord willing. And then she writes, my husband and I have just recently decided to obey the Lord in how he wants the family structured, so I will be quitting my job soon to stay home with our three young kids, ages 5, 2, and 1. We've always had a conviction that we would never put our parents in a nursing home when they reach that point, mostly because of my medical knowledge about how the majority are run. Very sad. However, we never really thought about it much because I was working full-time and that seemed far off. Now that I will be home soon, my husband asked me what my thoughts were on having his almost 90-year-old grandmother come and live with us. Right now, she is in a nursing home, which we don't really agree with. So I'm struggling internally with, one, how do I care for three very small children while also caring full-time for an elderly woman with dementia? And two, is it guilt I'm feeling or conviction from the Holy Spirit when I have feelings of dread or overwhelm at the thought of such an endeavor? I don't expect either of you to give me an answer, but I just want to share my current life situation and how I initially thought this series would not pertain to me, and now I'm wrestling and struggling with thoughts and realities of aging relatives. This series helped open my eyes to how I should approach aging as a young woman who wants to help those whom God has graced with the crown of gray hair. Thank you both for speaking on this topic. Well, Anonymous, thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate that, and I know Michelle does too. I just want to address the 90-year-old grandmother first, who has dementia. That is a tough one because every dementia patient is different. There's different causes, as you know, as a professional in the medical field, and you know, there's different ways that people with dementia react. You know, my own mother-in-law reacted very. She had Lewy body dementia, I believe, and that's one where you have hallucinations. You see things that aren't there. You imagine things that aren't true. And in some cases, you can also be very angry and violent. And thankfully, she wasn't that. She was very sweet, but she did see things and wasn't there all the time. So it was very easy to take care of her. And I know her daughter, my sister-in-law, did most of that heavy lifting, but the rest of us did as well. And we actually had my husband's parents live with us three different times in three different homes because my father-in-law's health was not the best. And so over a period of, I believe it must have been about 13 years, we had them come and live with us. And so the blessing is that your young children can relate to your grandparents when they come and live with you. And this is going to be more of a general overview for ladies who might be facing the same thing as Anonymous is. So again, not one size fits all advice. But over the years, like I said, my children got to know their grandparents really well. And the first time that they came to live with us was our starter home. home when we were first married and we didn't have children yet. We were about, I think, 26 years old. And I will say for anybody considering it as a young person, you really have to be a strong communicator with grandma and grandpa, or, you know, just even if it's just, you know, no kids yet, to be able to do this, because without much marital experience as a newlywed, it can be rough. And we love them and I love them dearly. They weren't my parents. They were my husband's parents, but, you know, they were so sweet. They didn't intrude. So we really had a good situation and we had a great time together. They did move out just weeks before our first baby was born. And that was a really good decision for everybody, because I think it gave us time to be parents, first time parents, without having other, you know, just that family dynamic. But the second time we invited them to move in with us, different house, and our youngest was a baby. And so a few years had gone by. And then later on, when we moved to yet a third home, we created that special place for them as well. And this time, my father-in-law's health had been deteriorating over the years, and he did pass away one night in our home. So so we all experienced that death, that end of life together. And it, I will say, looking back, it was our pleasure to be able to have them with us. They didn't have dementia at the time they lived with us, so that was a completely different situation than what Anonymous had mentioned just now, with considering that, you know, moving the 90-year-old grandma in. But our oldest child recently told us that having grandma and grandpa live with us had such a huge impact on him as a kid that he said that he would not hesitate to do the same for us after watching us take care of them. So I'm glad that we could be, I hadn't heard that before, so I was just thrilled that we could be that influence on him. But again, when you have young children and you're taking care of someone with dementia, you have to be very careful, because there are boundaries that need to be set. And, you know, you have to make sure that your children are safe, and you have to make sure that the parent or grandparent is safe. And so each situation is going to be different. I will say that even without dementia, you have to set parenting and disciplinary boundaries with the elderly parents moving in, because conflicts can derail a relationship. And the kids need to know that they can't play parents and grandparents against each other. And grandparents need to make sure that the kids ask mom and dad's permission first. So again, huge communication opportunities. Without it, I don't see how you can be successful. But Michelle, what are your thoughts? It's kind of a big, broad topic. And you know, I didn't want to give too much advice other than what I said, but any additional thoughts?
Yeah, I think your advice is just spot on. It really is. It's a case by case basis kind of thing. Every family is different. All the dynamics are different. All the elderly people have different needs, and you have different, you know, every family has different capabilities of the kind of care that they're able to give. I think it's really good that this lady is sitting down and rethinking this this statement that she has always lived by, that we will never put our parents in a nursing home or grandmother or whatever. I would just encourage young people, because, you know, you hear things like this all the time. There was this thing going around social media not long ago of young pregnant women saying, my husband will never change a diaper. I will change all of the diapers. And I couldn't help but think, you know, you don't have children yet. You really don't understand. You know, if you get pregnant again right away, and you know, the one that you already have has a poopy diaper, and you're having morning sickness, and poopy diapers make you vomit all over the place, your husband is going to need to change a few diapers, and that is not the end of the world. And that doesn't make him less of a man or you less of a mother. You know, I would just encourage young people, don't make these "we will always, we will never" kinds of statements, because then later when you realize that it's not such a black and white thing, you sort of feel locked in because you've made these big, bold statements. Right. And sometimes less mature people are not able to reevaluate that like this lady is doing. So I just want to say kudos for rethinking this, because, and it's not always, you know, like we've said before, this choice A or choice B, there are other choices in there. It's not an option. It's not necessarily just the option of putting the grandmother in a terrible nursing home or having her come live full time with you. It right. could be, you know, there could be a dementia daycare kind of thing. They have that for adults, where someone could care for her during the day while you're homeschooling and, or whatever it is you're going to do with your children during the day, or you could get someone to come in and help, or there's respite care, or there's assisted living where it's not necessarily a, you know, a typical nursing home that you're used to. I would also encourage you, since you are in the healthcare field, you really have an advantage that a lot of people don't have, and that's that you probably know some doctors that you could get opinions from on, you know, whether it would be a good idea for your grandmother to come live with y'all or not, or, you know, maybe some of the precautions you need to take or some of the things that you're not aware of or things like that. Use your resources. You know, go to those people and ask for advice, and ask for advice from other people from church or things like that that have been in this situation and know what's going on and can give you some very practical advice, like safeguarding things, you know, so there's no wandering out at night or things like that. So yeah, it's good that you're rethinking this. Get all the advice that you can from the medical professionals and people who've been through this kind of thing before. And thank you also for listening, even though you are a younger lady. We appreciate that. And I would say, you know, if you listen to parts one and two, and you know some younger people that haven't listened to it, I would encourage them to listen to it because we, like I said earlier, you've got to start growing into a godly older woman when you're young. You've got to start that process when you're young. And also, we talked about some other things like young people respecting older people and not, you know, doing this okay boomer thing and stuff like that. So that would be beneficial for some of our younger listeners as well. So thank you, Anonymous, for that comment. And we wish you the best on that.
Yes.
Okay, so here's another anonymous. A lot of people wanted to be anonymous, and that's absolutely fine. This lady wrote in to my Instagram page, and she said, "Everything you have said so far has been amazing." I guess she commented maybe after the first episode, but not, you know, hadn't listened to the second yet or something like that. So thank you, Anonymous. We appreciate you saying that we had been amazing there. She said, especially relieved guilt where we are still raising children but have elderly parents. My husband lost his mom at 22, his dad and my dad when we were in our mid-30s. So we are just left with my mother, and things are a struggle with her while our youngest demands much of our attention and I homeschool. I needed to hear that our priority is our children.
Oh,
that's right. And which is not to say that when caring for an elderly parent, that's not a priority. I mean, that's a priority as well. We would make sure that you heard us clearly when it comes to decisions like whether or not you can bring someone into your home who has been abusive or who might be dangerous to your children or something like that, that your priority in that situation is the safety and well-being of your children. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you heard that. And, you know, I wish you all the best and God bless you with taking care of your children and your mom. I know that can be hard.
It is hard. Here's another hard one, also from Anonymous. And she writes, as my husband and I talked with friends our age, 50 to 60 years old, many have had the same complaint. Our parents are in their mid-70s or 80s and beyond, and they're difficult to be with. How could we have good conversations with our parents about this, and how do we avoid being like that? I know it has a lot to do with worn-out bodies and some isolation, but I believe we should just begin to pray for a healthy attitude today as we age. I just really don't want that attitude, and it just seems to be an age-related issue that is prevalent among my peers and their parents. Well, Anonymous, yes, pray, 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 and you have to do that daily, especially when you are trying to help your elderly parents and they're being difficult and you don't want to be that difficult person either. I will tell you that it takes multiple times a day for me to pray and you know, really to have my attitude change first. And really what I'm hoping is that their attitude changes, right? But it has to be mine. I have to confess, it has to be mine. And I have much more grace when I've been at the, you know, before the throne of God than if I just skip it and say, all right, mom, what do you need now? You know, that kind of thing. You can't do that. So, you know, we are to honor our mother and our father. And, you know, no matter what, it's not if they deserve it, because nobody does. It's not, well, if you're going to be nice, then I will be responding in kind. Nope. Just like anybody else, we have to give that grace where it is needed, and it's always needed. So, but yes, with worn out bodies, they're going to be talking about their pain. They're going to be, you know, they're isolated. So they get fixated on things. And sometimes they repeat things over and over and over again. And, you know, for you, you might get annoyed with that. You just have to keep repeating back, oh, that's interesting, Dad. I didn't know, you know, you just have to go along and make their last years, just show interest and not irritation. And I have to say that to myself all the time, because it's really easy in our flesh, especially when we are tired, to react that way. So, again, we don't want to be like that, and we don't want, we don't want to be those parents either, or those grandparents either, that eventually do that. So, sticking with knowing who the Lord is and praying to the Lord, you know, Lord, I'm starting to lose it a little bit, and help me not to be, that way with my own children. So, again, it's one of those things. If you can find humor in this anonymous, I think that's well worth your time to just have some laughs, because we all age, and Lord willing, if we're blessed with a lengthy time on this earth by the Lord, then yes, things like that will happen. And we, you know, the daily battle for our against our flesh and against our own desires and attitudes is, again, a daily battle. So, you know, and another thing I would just say before I ask you, Michelle, what you think is, don't gossip about your parents. You know, of course they're elderly. Of course there's going to be things that annoy you. Don't complain. Don't gossip. So that's one tip that I have, is when you're with your friends, you know, they may gossip and say, you know, oh, I'm complaining about my parents again for the umpteenth time. You know, just listen, but don't play. Don't do the same. Don't respond in kind. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
I think that's great advice. I really like what she said about beginning to pray for a healthy attitude today as we age. Yes. I think that's so important. You know, like I've said several times tonight already, I think being a godly older woman starts now. Begin to ask the Lord to grow you in the fruits of the Spirit now, that you will be kind and gentle, mm-hmm. and patient and loving as a woman, a godly woman, and that He will continue, you know, even when you're older and you're tired and you're in pain and you're frustrated because you can't do all the things you used to do, that the Lord will continue to grow you in that fruit of the Spirit, that you won't, you know, that you won't be abrasive to other people, that you'll be kind and, yeah. and exhibit all those Christ-like characteristics. And I would also say, remember what we talked about honoring your parents. And, I think it was in that, which passage was it that we read? I think it was in that 1 Timothy 5 passage that says that younger people need to take care of their parents, if they at all can, to show a return for what your parents have done to you. That's Michelle's paraphrase, because I don't have it memorized. And just think about, you know, when you're taking care of your parents and the things that they're doing frustrate you, or you feel impatient or whatever, think about when you were a baby and you were having a tantrum and how they were patient with you. And think about how, you know, it can be frustrating for parents to watch a child struggle with something instead of just stepping in and doing it for them and being patient as they do it for themselves, because that, you know, that little bit of independence that your parents still have is going to be important to them. And just all the little things mm-hmm. like that. Think about what it was like for your parents to be patient with you, and how your parents were kind with you, and how, you know, they sacrificed a lot of things for you. And so it's your turn now. It's our turn now. So keep those things in mind.
Yes.
All right. Okay, moms, it is time for the earbuds. A precious listener sent us some very wise, very open and honest older sister thoughts and advice about sex and aging. This comment is not graphic. It's not irreverent. But if you think there's any way in which you can't handle listening to a frank comment or two about sex, you're going to want to fast forward a bit. Again, I'm going to reiterate something I said earlier. Everybody's situation is different. Some of what, you know, some of this listener's comment may apply to you, and some of it may apply to other listeners. So take what applies to you and leave what doesn't, because I'm just not sure I can handle a bunch of emails saying, that lady just doesn't get it. Here are all the details of my sex life that are different from what she said. Please don't send us those emails, for the love. Have some mercy on us. We can't handle that. Okay, so just take what's for you and leave what's not. Okay, so this is from Anonymous over at our Word Fitly Spoken Facebook page. She says, my husband and I have been married 33 years. Well, congratulations.
That's awesome.
Huh. We were both saved 8 years in. Praise God. Yes, praise God that he saved both of you. That is wonderful. All right. So she says, in probably the first half of our marriage, we both had a pretty high sex drive. I'd say 4 to 6 times a week was normal. I started menopause in my late 40s, and a few years in, my sex drive definitely diminished. I tried to balance his and my new needs, but some nights I just couldn't and would try to fall asleep before he made it to bed, or I made excuses. After a year or so of both being frustrated, mostly him trying to figure out when I was or wasn't in the mood, I finally started a conversation, which I'm horrible at, and we came to an agreement, which has worked great for us, every other night. LOL, she says. It may seem strange to have a schedule, but it works fantastic for us. It's crazy, but on, quote, my night, yes, we can actually joke about it now, she says. I look forward to a shower and comfy PJs and just hugging my hubby and going to sleep. On, quote, his night, I slip into bed and it's all about him. Yes, there are sometimes interruptions of not feeling well, being exhausted, etc. Because these are rare, they are accepted with grace, and we pick up where we left off the next night. I'm not saying this is for everyone, but talk it out and figure out what works for you both. Remember that just because your needs have changed, his probably haven't. Even if I'm not in the mood, I don't mind giving him what he needs. He has been my biggest example of selflessness that I've ever known, and that helps me want to put his needs above mine. Good news, she says, things turned around in my late 50s. I don't necessarily want sex more often, but it's been quite enjoyable again. Now that we both just entered our 60s, a very new issue has arisen. His lack of ability, or, quote, losing it before we're finished. Again, it's something we have talked out and have a, quote, for now remedy and future plan if needed. Talk about it, she says. Tip for couples with children still at home, especially in a small house. Memory foam type mattresses are a must. They are so quiet.
That's great.
So that's good advice there. She's got another tip. She says, don't forget to shake it up from time to time with something fun / sexy. An older woman once told the younger women a story while at a women's retreat of when she wrapped herself in saran wrap and let her husband unwrap her. They were in their 70s.
Oh my goodness.
Please be careful if you decide to do that. Somebody's going to have a heat stroke or something. Just be careful if you decide to do that. She says, I also know a couple in their 80s still making love. When I was young, I thought old people didn't have sex anymore. I'm finding out that's far from the truth. She says, this is so sweet. She says, I love growing old together. It's what we are meant to do. When we stay with the husband or wife of our youth, we go through all the changes together. The not so perfect body, wrinkles, gray hair, all the so-called flaws. But it's okay. They're not flaws. It's the way God designed us to age. When my husband and I have photos taken, my husband tells them not to touch them up. He wants to see me just how I am. Yeah. I pray that women would start accepting their aging with grace, stop trying to fix their flaws, and see themselves through their Creator's eyes. And that was just so precious. That last comment was so precious to me. That's really how we should look at it. And that is such good advice from a godly older sister. And it's much needed humor as well, I think.
It was. I want to meet you.
Yes. Maybe we could talk about something else if we met, though. Maybe a different topic. But I think her main advice about talking it out is what we tried to say as well. Talk to your husband. You should be able to talk to your husband about these things. Talk to your doctor if you need to. Talk to a godly older woman at church if you need to that's been through things like this. And, you know, you and your husband can work things out. So I think that's great advice. I really don't have anything to add to that.
I don't either. I just noticed one thing, and that is, you know, before they talked it out, they were just she would try to go to bed and drift off to sleep before he got there, whatever it was, and just noticed that wedge that could have grown if they hadn't talked it out. So communication is so important, ladies. Don't be embarrassed to talk about it. So yeah. All right, let's touch on health a little bit. A few of you offered some very specific health and medical advice, and we want to make sure we're just a little bit concerned about us sharing that on the show because we're not doctors. Michelle and I don't want anyone trying something that might end up damaging their health, so we do appreciate those suggestions, ladies, but we're going to stick with our original advice and just recommend that you talk to your own doctor about menopause, pain, weight gain, or loss, and other health or medical concerns from the professionals. So want to go to our Facebook page at A Word Fitly Spoken. Michelle writes this. She said, I struggle so much with not being able to remember things like I did even a few years ago. Multitasking used to be so easy for me, and now it can literally be dangerous. I have found using timers such as microwave, stove, cell phone, etc. helps to remind me to do things and not to forget to turn things off or on. I pray for God's grace and protection as I go through my day. And sometimes it seems like I'm living in a fog. Adjusting to new routines later in life has definitely been harder for me. Love you guys. Oh, we love you too, Michelle. Thanks for writing in. Living in that fog and, just forgetting something that you had on the tip of your tongue just a second ago, that's all part of it. And I don't know what advice to give you other than just the typical but very helpful: get lots of sleep, lots of rest, make sure that you're, you know, exercising, eating right, getting some fresh air. I sound like a commercial, Michelle. I'm sorry about that, but it really does make a difference. And when you exercise, you know, make sure you're stretching out, just breathe deeply. And honestly, prayer really helps too. But again, yes, we do tend to kind of lose our train of thought. It has left the station for me a few times. And I will say just today, Michelle, I was thinking of something that I needed to tell my husband and it was right there. And then I lost it again. And I couldn't for the life of me think about it until about 5 minutes later. So, we do need to make sure we're safe. So yes, if you found that using timers to help you remember to turn off the stove, yep, I've done that too. I've walked away. Thankfully, haven't burned the house down yet. But just little things like that. We just have to be really mindful of our surroundings and make sure it's like, did I turn off the stove? Yep, I did. So that's good. But yes, we do need to pray for God's grace and protection in all walks of our life too, because we want to make sure that we're living safely. Michelle, your thoughts?
I don't really have a whole lot to add. I just, like she said, you know, use those timers, use your technology, make lists, do whatever you need to do to help you remember. Try not to multitask as much. Try to remain focused on one task at a time and talk to your friends about little tricks and tips that they might have for improving your memory or helping to remember things or, whatever technology they might use and things like that. So Sounds like you're doing a great job already, Michelle.
Yeah. Post-its help. Yes. Post-its are my friend. All right. And then Jenna shared some thoughts at our Word Fitly Spoken Facebook page about stewarding our remaining years well. And she said this. She said, I've been thinking a lot about this topic lately. I think it's important that we finish our race well. We may have extra time now that our children are adults. However, it's important that we don't become selfish. Perhaps we might think to ourselves, this is my time now. And she writes, I'm 48 and have three kids, all in their early 20s. I homeschooled them through elementary and high school. My husband and I faithfully raised them in the Lord. The Lord has been gracious and they are all walking with Him. That investment in our children has led to opportunities for us to speak into other parents' lives. It's weird to be the older one that younger women are looking up to. However, as we age, we need to continue to ground ourselves in God's Word and look for opportunities to assist younger women. As older women, we need to be careful not to have a critical spirit, but give gentle, careful, godly, and timely advice to younger ladies in our lives. We should be an encouragement to them. I believe that if we cultivate in ourselves a servant's heart, then we will be godly examples as we age. I don't have a lot to say about that, Michelle, other than amen, 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 amen. Jenna, thank you for that reminder. It is absolutely perfect and so needed. So thanks for sharing your wisdom. Michelle, I think that as we age, finishing well means continuing to serve the Lord in all that we do. And that may look different in different seasons. Maybe in our 40s, it looks like we're volunteering. We've got energy. We can go to be in Sunday school or out in the community, maybe for a good nonprofit that cares for other people. We can do that. And as we age, maybe we slow down a little bit. And that volunteerism, that serving the Lord looks a little bit different. So just pray about how you can be just living this life to serve God and to serve other people in your older years and do it right up until your last breath. Thoughts, Michelle?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you think of it in terms of it being a stewardship of that last few years or maybe even decades of your life. You know, I was just thinking when we're teenagers and young adults, we're starting to think in terms of, okay, like what do I want to do for the rest of my life? What do I want to, what kind of a career do I want to have? Or do I want to get married and have children? Or you have all these options available to you. And it's a time of your life when you choose what you want to do for the next several years of your life. Well, this is kind of the same thing. You know, you're going to choose what you need to do. We still have responsibilities, even when we're maybe not working, if we're retired or whatever, and we're older. We have things that we need to do. But we have some leeway in there as to what we want to do. And there are all kinds of ministry opportunities that we can take advantage of as older people who have more time. And it's really exciting if you think about it, that we have all these open doors to us. And of course, we do need to think about what we are able to do physically and, you know, with our energy levels and things like that. But it's really important to, like Amy was saying, eat right, get your rest, get your exercise in order to have that energy to steward towards the things that God wants you to do with the remaining years of your life so that we can leave it, like we said, leave it all out on the field for Jesus. Don't hold anything back. You just don't wear out, don't rest out, but wear out, you know? So, it's an exciting time of life. And think of it that way. Think of it as a stewardship.
Yeah. And can I just add one more thing that I just thought of, Michelle, too? A lot of people, as they become, older and perhaps maybe they've gone through a disability, or they are bedridden in their older years, you can still be a blessing. You can still serve. You can still pray with your caregivers, the people who come to take care of you, if that's the case. Find ways, even when, if you can't even move, you can still serve and still honor and glorify the Lord. So
that's right. That's right. And that's a great time to be a prayer warrior as well. If you can't do anything else, you can pray. And I say that not to make it sound like that's something unimportant or anything like that. I think sometimes God gifts us with, you know, the lack of ability to do other things so that we can be those prayer warriors because it's so important. I remember when my great grandmother was, she lived to be 99 and a half, I think I mentioned last time. And she was legally blind. She was very mobility impaired. She could barely walk from her chair to the bathroom and she couldn't drive. In her later life, she couldn't even go to church anymore. But she prayed every day for all of her children and grandchildren. And I'm sure she prayed for lots of other things as well. So that is really a ministry that is very much needed. And I think it's just precious in the sight of the Lord when his older saints are dedicating their lives to prayer when maybe they aren't able to do anything else. So don't forget about prayer because it's important. All righty, let's go ahead and turn our thoughts to how our churches relate to older people. This is something we talked about before. Anonymous wrote into my Facebook page and she said, "Thank you so much for your wonderful podcast, especially this topic. Such a blessing. My husband and I are in the 50 plus age bracket and have attended and have been dedicated and faithful servers at our verse by verse sound gospel preaching church for many years." Now, Anonymous goes on to describe in very helpful, but it is a little bit lengthy detail, some things that have started happening in her church, similar to what we described in part two about churches that make things all about youthfulness in order to attract young families and young people. Anonymous, I hope you don't mind, but just for the sake of time, I'm going to summarize your concerns rather than reading your entire comment. Some of her concerns are they've had some new pastors come in who are all relatively young, and the atmosphere of the worship service has become much more casual with the pastor's wearing jeans. The music is less orchestral and more like a contemporary worship band. The older hymns are starting to disappear and are being replaced by contemporary worship songs. She says that there is age segregation, which is leading to lack of Titus 2 opportunities for Titus 2 relationships and discipleship. The pastors seem somewhat immature, as evidenced by their Facebook posts. She and her husband, she says they've tried to be very involved and they've made a number of efforts to build relationships with others, but they feel like they've been ignored and rejected. She says that others have expressed some of these same concerns to the pastors and they have been rebuffed. And then finally, she wants to assure us that these are not off-the-cuff, petty complaints, but that she and her husband have spent quite a bit of time in self-examination and thinking through these things and praying about these things. So what should you do if you're an older person and these things start happening at your church? Amy, what do you think?
Well, I think, continuing to talk to the pastors and emphasize how important it is to have godly wisdom of elderly people and don't, kick people to the curb. I mean, imagine if, you didn't have senior citizens in your church, the older men and women, like it talks about in Titus 2. God's plan for the church is that it would pursue wisdom, just like God's plan for all of us is that we would pursue wisdom. And one of the ways that a church gains that wisdom is by our generations passing it down to the next generation. So, we see this lived out in Titus 2. This is what Paul instructs the church to do, the older training the younger, right? So, how much wisdom is found in a church full of, millennials? Yeah, nothing wrong with millennials, but, if they're all discipling one another, where does that generational knowledge happen if there's no gray hair that can be found in the building? So just imagine a church without the elderly and don't be like, we did a podcast, I think it must have been in, it was 2020, but it was before COVID, this case of excommunicating the elderly, I think it was called. I'll find it. We'll link it up in our show notes. But we talked about how in Minnesota, there was a case.
It has something to do with kicking wisdom to the curb.
Yes. Kicking wisdom to the curb. And it made national headlines, too. It was about how these couples, these elderly couples and seniors were all told that, you know, the church was going to shut down and they would have to be, when we reopened, it's going to be for younger people. It's going to be a youth-based church and you guys can go to our sister church across the highway or whatever it was, purposely to get rid of them. I mean, can you just imagine? So, and it was just such a sad thing. And people who had been part of that church for years, since they were the young ones, you know, they were the ones who were the pillars of the church, and suddenly they were kicked to the curb. So it unfortunately, it's part of a trend that, well, that was the most extreme thing I'd ever heard of. But yeah, the attitude that, yeah, we need to replace people so that we're going to really be attractional to younger people. Yeah, that's not a model that is described in Scripture at all. You don't see the let's attract millennial, you know, or generation XYZ, whatever it happens to be at the time. We don't see that in Scripture. We talk about being together in unity around the Christ of the Bible. That's all we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to shape our church around an age group. That's really not it. We are together, unified around Jesus Christ. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. I do think there are some things that we need to be flexible on, things that weren't done that way when we were growing up and when we were younger. For example, the pastors wearing jeans. You know, that's not my cup of tea either necessarily, especially not, you know, when they're like wearing jeans and a t-shirt or something like that. That's not my preference either. But you know, like if that's the only change that has happened and sound doctrine is still being preached, you know, maybe some of those things we can overlook. Same way with the music. I know when we joined the church that we're at now, there were a lot of the more, they were singing the Gettys and we still sing a lot of those songs that are, you know, in that vein. And I didn't know a lot of those songs. Yeah. So I had to catch up and learn a lot of those songs. And now I just love so many of them so much. And I'm so grateful that I was exposed to those newer hymns. And we also sing some of the older hymns as well. So there are some, you know, some things that we can be flexible on and even learn to like, if we give it a try. We certainly don't want to be flexible on things that the Bible is very clear about and that the Bible commands. So don't be flexible on those things. I would encourage you to try to stay at this church if you possibly can. Now, it may get so bad that you may have to leave, and that's okay. One of the things that you may want to do is spend more time with the people who are like-minded with you. You've said that some of the other people have gone and expressed these same concerns that you have. Maybe those people would enjoy doing a Bible study together or, you know, going out to dinner every now and then. Just so you may feel rejected by some people, but you may have more in common with other people is what I'm trying to say. And maybe focus on building relationships with those folks. But what Amy said about, you know, tailoring church to attract a certain age group, that is unbiblical. And if it goes too far, you'll have to pray for wisdom. We don't know your exact circumstance, but you and your husband will have to talk about it. If it goes too far and it becomes really intolerably unbiblical, you may have to find a new church. And we will put my church search engine church search resource in the show notes for you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Change is hard. It really is. But, yeah. It's a tough one. Well, let's finish up now. I think, boy, this one's gone on a long time too, Michelle. We're getting closer and closer to breaking a record here. So let's finish up with a few comments that were a little bit more general in nature. Lori over at our Instagram page said, these podcasts on aging with grace have been an answer to prayer. Well, Lori, thankfully, I'm so glad that the Lord has used this podcast episode or two to answer your prayers. That's fantastic. And then Raylene over on Instagram also said, I have not listened to part two yet, but I really enjoyed part one. I've noticed an almost Peter Pan trend where adults don't want to age, but instead want to stay 20 or 30 or so. Recently, God has worked in my heart about that for my own life. So thankful for godly women like yourselves and faithful women I know pouring out what you've learned and encouraging us to run the race. So, yay, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I think she'll be happy to listen to part two where we did address that. So she'll enjoy that.
Yeah, we did talk about that. And then Jennifer over on our Facebook page said, I think that one thing that is a struggle is mid-age when kids are freshly grown and your body starts to change and so many things are happening. No one wants to talk about it. It can be really a hard time for people and a bit confusing. And you're left wondering, what now? Yeah, for sure. That's why we do need to talk about it, Jennifer. So thank you for writing in. And then Betty over on Facebook also wrote in and said, thank you for the wisdom and encouragement. I am 62. And she said, this information was very relevant. I loved the biblical examples cited regarding wisdom and age. I'm interested in learning more about how older women can mentor, maybe specific examples. Women aging gracefully and dressing appropriately is a beautiful thing. I'm relatively new to your podcast and have been binging episodes. You two are appreciated more than you know. Oh, that's great. And she writes, I thank God for his providence. Very grateful. Thank you so much, Betty. Really appreciate that. And yes, we've actually got some great episodes. We're going to link up in the show notes. So just click on our link to awordfitlyspoken.life. And on this episode, you'll find a bunch of them. And I know, Michelle, you and I can probably find many. But how older women can mentor. We talked about biblical women's ministry, part one and part two. And then Titus 2, teach what is good. I'm thinking of a few more. I think we did a three-part series on dressing modestly too, and how we can help younger women see the biblical value of what to wear and what not to wear. So, and it's more than just that. It's what scripture says about it too. So Michelle, can you think of any more?
Those were the only ones I could think of at the moment. But if we dig up some more, just check the show notes and maybe also go to our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, click on the or hover over the episodes tab. I forget exactly what the title is. And then click on play from the beginning and just sort of look through the titles and see if you see anything that sounds like it might apply to what you're interested in looking for. And you can use the search bar as well to put in some keywords and see if maybe we've discussed that on some older episodes as well.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this three-part series on Aging with Grace for Godly Women. We do hope you enjoyed it as much as we did, and I hope you learned as much as we did. We loved learning from our listeners, too. If you love A Word Fitly Spoken, we would be so honored if you would consider supporting us by sharing our episodes around on social media, or you could leave us a 5-star rating and an encouraging review on your favorite podcast platform. By the way, that helps us get into the ears of other listeners. And so that's a good thing because we want to get that godly wisdom into many, many more ears and earbuds. And then thirdly, you can help us to defray the costs of podcasting by becoming a donor via PayPal or Patreon. All of these things make it really easy for listeners who are looking for good sound doctrine and solid biblical content to find us on A Word Fitly Spoken. And you can always find all of our information and resources at awordfitlyspoken.life.
And until next time, grow old in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and walk worthy.